Hello again. How are y'all today? I hear one. We're good. Okay, we got to get moving. You got to high five two people around you. Tell them that they smell good. Now to the person you didn't high five, you got to give them a fist bump and say, I'm your friend. I'm trying to be nice. You know what I mean? You got to let them know that they need some D.O. for that B.O. You know what I mean? So, hey, guys, over these past few weeks, we've been having a really, really good time. We've been talking about why we do what we do at the Vine Church in this series called This Is What We Do, conveniently placed on the screen so that you know. So over these past few weeks, we've had a really good time, and I've had a really good time. Today, I'm really, really excited about what God has for us because I believe as we go into this time of year more than ever, we can be stuck in what we're talking about today. So today, as we're getting ready to go and rocking and rolling, it made me think a few of us are lucky enough in our life to have some folks that know us inside and out, right? They're with us in our ups and our downs. Like, they're with us through thick and thin. Now, Jesus places people in our life for reasons, for seasons, and for life. And some of us have those friends that are in our life for a lifetime. Some of us have those friends that are in our life just for a season. And some of us have friends in our life for a specific reason to get us through a journey that we're going through. But so many of us don't even realize that we have those people in our life. So for me, I wanted to tell you a little bit about me before we jump into some scripture. So I grew up in church. As you're getting to know me even more, I've got to tell you about how I grew up without my father. He was in the ministry. He was killed by a drunk driver when I was 3. And I had the pleasure and the opportunity, and God saved me from a lot because I got to meet Jesus as a child. And I grew up in church, as a lot of us in the room can say. And I will tell you the single thing that set me free in church was community. Because I sat right where you were. And my view of God was to put up a wall and walk my walk and forget about everyone else's. And so for 16 years, I literally did that. That's all I did. I didn't know. I had one close friend or a few close friends outside of family. And to be honest with you, I feel like that's where we are in America right now. You know, the average person only has 2 friends in America. But their Facebook, they have like 7,000 or something, right? Like, they've got 6,000 Twitter followers. They've got a ton of Instagram folks that like their posts and their videos. And God knows what happens on Snapchat. So they're all over the place. And if you don't know what those are, don't feel bad. I don't know what half of them are either. So we're in the same boat. But right now, where I feel like we can be lost in my heart today is this. Who do you have in your life? Like, do you know what it means to have community? Do you know what it means to have someone in your life to walk with you through ups and downs? Not just your family, like someone. Because family is the first place you find that. And for me, that was hard because I grew up without my dad. So my view of God was he would be there when I needed him. And he would discipline me when I did something wrong. But outside of that, I didn't know what it meant to have real true communion day to day, like setting aside time until I stepped into Christian community. And I don't want that for anyone in the room. I want us to be able to say without a shadow of a doubt, we don't just have 2 friends. We've got a room full of friends. We've got people that walk with us throughout life during the week and can say, you can call and say, I'm just having a crappy day. And you're like, well, it's Wednesday. You say, I know it feels like Monday. Like if you have those people in your life, you know how important it is. But odds are most of us in the room don't. Maybe we've got 1 or 2. And I want to open our pool up to that, to where we have many, many more. So today we're going to dive in. We're going to bounce around some scripture. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, the NIV. So if your version looks a little different, hang in here with me. But the first scripture that I wanted to read with us today is from Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. And it says this: if you walk with the wise, you become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So before we move on with that, I want to say, isn't this true? Like, what did grandma tell you? Show me your friends, I'll show you your tough crowd. Good Lord. Your future, right? Like those friends that mom and grandma say, hey, don't hang out with them. Hey, that's going down the wrong road. Come on, mom, you're just trying to hold me down. Or dad, you're just trying to push me down. Like, don't hang out with those people. But if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And so many times, this is what this proverb's saying. If you are with folks who are in community with God, you can't help but grow closer to God. But if you're with folks who aren't in community with God, it's going to be really hard for you to grow close with God. You're not going to abandon God. I don't believe that. I believe that you're better than that because you're here today. But it's going to be real hard to stick with God because those friends aren't. And so for us in our life, I want us to see that. I want us to see who our friends are, and I want us to walk through that. Before we go to the next scripture, what I had for us is John 17. It's not going to be up there on the screen, so just hang in here with me, but I'm going to read it to you. And Jesus' last prayer before he went to be arrested to go on the cross was this. John chapter 17, verse 25 says this, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." Jesus is praying for unity. All of John 17, he prays for unity among believers. He prays for unity with his disciples because he knows they're about to scatter. Like, he's about to go to the cross and all these people that say they have his back are gone. They're gone. And he says, "God, I just want them to be united. I just want them to be in community. I want them to see you and me as I know that you sent me to do this." So today, we're going to tackle these things called friend, and we're going to do it through this guy named David. And here, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, describes it so well. It says this, "But now your kingdom will not endure." It's talking about King Saul here. "The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command." So today we're going to talk through the eyes of David, this guy that we've heard about, this cool story. Like, if we counted all the successes David has, there are probably way too many to count. Like, we know of David and Goliath. We know of all of his great victories. We know of his mighty warriors. We know how he might have been running in a cave from Saul. But we also know about his one failure. We talk about that failure probably way too much. And we say, if a man after God's own heart can do that, imagine what we can do. But the one thing we miss in David's story is this. He might have been a man after God's own heart, but the best decision he did is to surround himself with friends. And so today, that's what I want us to talk about. I want us to talk about this. I want us to talk about three friends everyone needs. Three friends everyone needs. And we can see that through the life of David. We can see some of these friends in his life. And so I started out with that stat and said the average American has two friends. Two friends, even though we're in this social world. So if you're the average American, I want to gain you a friend today. I want you to walk out of here with three friends, okay? And then eventually I want us to get on two hands. That'd be really cool. And then we get to fingers and toes, and I can't count after that. So y'all got to hang in there with me on that. So before we dive in, I'm about to pray. But one thing I forgot to do is you may be sitting on a piece of a puzzle. Hold on to that until the end of the service. If not, don't go digging it out. You can dig it out during prayer because your neighbor's going to take a picture of you and put it on Instagram. So don't do that. You can do it during the prayer. But hang on to that piece of puzzle because it has some significance to the message here today. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to continue. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity that we can come to lift your name up high. Jesus, I pray that today you would set us free from trying to do life alone, that you would set us free from trying to do all of this on our own and realize that you have placed people in our lives to help us not only be better for ourselves, but better for what you called us to, which brings us ultimately more joy. So Jesus, today, open our eyes, open our hearts. Let us be bold to take those steps. Let chains be set free. And Jesus, most of all, may your name be known greater today than ever before. It's your wonderful and precious and holy name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to dive in. I don't think they set the clocks ahead, so we're going to say we'll be done at like 12:45 or 1, okay? It's short service today, okay? So when everybody looks at the clock, I can always tell because everybody starts looking up there, and I'm like, oh, God, what time is it? So if y'all hang in here with me today, I promise you, I'll get you out of here by 2:30. So that being said, we're going to rock on. So the first type of friend that each and every one of us needs is this. You need a friend who makes you better. A friend who makes you better. So when you look in your life, who do you have as a friend that makes you better? A lot of us can say, I played sports, so I can't connect with everyone. I also sometimes played music, but don't put me on stage to sing. Y'all, it'll be all right. I mean, it'd be terrible if that happened. But I can play some things, some instruments. And what I mean by somebody who needs to be in your life who makes you better is a coach. Most people think of a coach in that. A coach can see so much more in you than you can see in yourself. Now, your family normally sees that, but I'm talking an outside influence, somebody in your life that's like, I see this potential in you, and they speak to it, and they walk with you through it, even when you say, nah, not me. You got the wrong one. That ain't me. That ain't me. Like, do you have that person in your life? And today, if you don't, I want to help you identify that person. For David, this guy's name was Samuel. This guy's name was Samuel. And so where we find that is conveniently in a book in the Bible called 1 Samuel. And 1 Samuel 16, verse 5 through 13, we're going to see this guy named Samuel. And it says this: Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace, I have come to the sacrifice of the Lord. Consecrate yourselves, come to sacrifice with me." He's at David's dad's house, Jesse. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to a sacrifice. How cool is that? So what if at Halloween somebody came to your house and just straight up said, "Consecrate yourself, we got a sacrifice." Y'all probably think some fool's crazy. Y'all done call the police, right? Like, that's just something crazy. You're welcome. That was free of charge. We got to loosen up. I might have to do that B.O. joke again. We're going to have to do something to loosen up. So hang in here with me. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed one stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at, but people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. And Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "The Lord ain't chose this one either. Like, you keep sending me rejects, Jesse. Like, what's going on?" So Jesse had seven of his sons pass. Like, they've done sacrifice. They've had dinner. Like, it's late night. Like, Jimmy Fallon's writing thank you notes. And he's just like, "You've already given me seven people that's come across." And then he says to this, "Hey, the Lord has not chosen any of these." So he asked Jesse, "Hey, dude, like, I ain't got all day. Like, there's no daylight outside. Like, I'm missing catching up on like Stranger Things. Like, things are happening in my life. Like, are these all the sons you have?" And he's like, "Well, we do have the one no one claims. And if you don't know who that is in your family, it's you. I just hope you know that right now. I'm going to go ahead and set you free with that. If you think, like, who is that in my family that no one claims? It's you. You're welcome. I sometimes can be that." So he asked Jesse, "Are all these your sons?" "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down till he arrives." So not only has seven people passed over, they're still standing up. Like, what if I told you right now in the message, "Everybody, y'all got to stand the whole time." Like, I would be getting some great looks right now. I mean, there'd be some great movement. Y'all be looking crazy at me. So they stand the whole time. So imagine you're David and all these people are standing when you come home. What's your natural thought? Like, "I'm ready to start swinging. I don't know what happened. Something's wrong." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing. He was glowing. He had his, like, makeup on, y'all. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance, handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. So not only did his brother find out they were rejected, he got anointed in front of him. And we can see in the Bible where that happens a lot. That just makes your brothers love you so, so much and your family love you so, so much more, right? So they anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel then went to Ramah. So you have to have someone in your life, a friend in your life, that makes you better. So do you have that in your life? Like, how many times have you been passed by and people are like, "Surely you're not the one"? How many times have people said, "Surely God's not called you to that"? How many times in your life do you have people in your life that say, "That's stupid. Church in a gym? No way." Like, how many times do people tell you that? How many times do you get stuck there? And who do you have in your life when that happens to say, "Hey, stay the course, keep going"? Because here's the thing, and I don't want you to miss this. So many times in your life, God's going to call you to something that's huge, that's big, that's crazy. And there are seven people he rejected to come into it. And you're the one he's called to do it. And those seven people surely don't love you. And they surely don't want to see you succeed. But you have to do what God's called you to do because he made you to do this thing. Like, what if David didn't come home? What if he said, "Hey, man, I got to go keep these sheep. I can't come home. What do you mean you sent for me, Dad?" Like, how many times has God called you to something and you refuse to go because you think you're going to be rejected like the seven people before you? You got to have somebody in your life that says, "Forget those rejects and you be what God's called you to be." And if you've got a Samuel in your life, you've got a coach in your life, you can't fail. That's where David is right here. David has not even done, like, David's done some pretty cool things. But he's not done some of the things that we know that he's done. Like, he's been a shepherd right now. He's already fought off a lion. He's fought off a bear. But any of these great battles we know about him, we haven't found out about yet. And yet one guy, God went into one guy's heart, changed one guy's eye, changed one guy's perspective, and it completely changed David's life because he spoke it into him. And he said, you can do greater things. And he anoints him king. I want you to know God has his hand on you today. He has chosen you among all anyone else in the world to do what you are called to do. The king himself, the creator of the universe, has chosen you to do something amazing. But most of the time you won't step into it unless you forget that someone in your life can see it in you. What I want for you today is if you don't have a Samuel in your life, I want to help you get one. So be looking for those people in your life who see more in you than you can see in yourself. Because would we agree that Samuel probably made David's life better? Like, he was in the sheep pen, and I know we can't connect with sheep, but we wear all of these cotton clothes, and we wear wool clothes, and, like, sheep probably stink. I've been around cows, so I'm sure sheep stink pretty bad. And he's in this place. And would you say that sometimes in our worst place, in the stinkiest place, God calls us out of to go do the greatest things? But if we get stuck in the rejects that are before us and what the rejects tell us and miss out on the person who sees the potential we have, man, it's not a life worth living. It's a miserable life. It's a life that's all alone. So today, I want you to examine your life and see who the Samuel is in your life. Who the Samuel is in your life. The next friend that you need to have in your life, or that we should all have in our life, is a friend who gives you spiritual strength. A friend who gives you spiritual strength. So the person that David has in his life that gives him spiritual strength is this guy named Jonathan. This guy named Jonathan. So let me tell you who Jonathan is before we step in the story. Jonathan is Saul's son. He is the rightful heir to be king of the Jews, of all of Israel. Jonathan ends up being David's spiritual strength. Think about that. The person who was supposed to sit in the seat is the person who gave up the seat for the one that God called. How humbling and how awesome it is to have someone like that in your life. Somebody who you're like, hey man, you've got this more than I've got it. Like, God's hands on you to do this better than I can do. I don't know if I could do that really well. My pride would probably swell up. But Jonathan's here and his pride doesn't. And so many times in our life, we don't have that person in our life because they're fighting us for what God's called us to. They're part of the seven people who were rejected before us instead of being this person who gives a spiritual strength. Excuse me. had to get something in there. We'll get some water in a second. So the person in our life, if you wanted to write a question about that, I would ask you this question before we move to Scripture. Who's got your six? Who's the person that's got your six? Who's the warrior in your life? Who's the one that seriously is like, I'm praying for you? Who's the person that says, I've got your back? Who's the person that says, I'm with you, heart and soul? Who's the person that says, no matter what, I'm walking through this with you? It's not just the coach. The coach will make you better, but this person is a warrior. They're not afraid to go in the trenches with you. They're going to fight with you all the way through in the battle. They're going to step out and say, hey, man, I got your six. Like, I'm ready to go. We're going to rock and roll with it. So let's see how Jonathan did that. And conveniently in 1 Samuel again, chapter 23, verse 15 through 18, he says this, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. So pause right quick. So Saul has found out that David has been anointed. So what we started with is Saul was just told by God that a man after God's own heart was about to take the throne. So Saul is PO'd, like, ready to go. He can't understand it. He's like, but I'm the first king of Israel. Like, you've called me, God. Like, I'm the one. He was singing with DJ Khaled. Like, I'm the one. Like, I'm the one who's ready to go. Like, I'm the one who's got it together. You've called me, God. Why would somebody else get to do what you've called me to do? And I have a son. He's supposed to carry on my name, my legacy, like this thing that we're building, this thing you've called me to. And then he finds out David, this little runt, this little ruddy boy, as it says in one translation, this little short-statured man, all of a sudden is going to be king. The one who was in the sheep field is going to be king. And so Saul said, man, I'm definitely going to give my crown over because that's how it goes. Like, he's going to get to be king. I'm so proud of you, Saul. I'm so proud of you, David. Like, we got it together. No, Saul finds out and he's like, fine, God, I'll kill him. I'm going to get to keep my throne. Like, you've called me to this and it's my seat and you don't have to take it from my hand. And so he's chasing David right here, and he learns that Saul had come out to take his life, and Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. He goes on to say, "Don't be afraid. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. So when you look at your life, who has your back? See, at this moment in time, David and Goliath have happened. And what's happened is all the people are saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his 10,000s. How would that make you feel? How would that make me feel? Who is in my life that I know is like, hey, I'm with you, whether you kill 1,000 people, 10,000 people, no people, preferably. Let's not kill anybody. Let's just be real. Like, where we're at. Who do you have in your life that's a warrior? Who do you have in your life that will stand with you? So I'm looking at this, and I want to tell you that you need a friend who can cut through the BS and not worry about what's happening around you, not worrying about what anybody's saying about you, and walk hand in hand with you. And if you don't have that in your life, guys, man, you're missing out. If you don't have a warrior that will say, you need me to take up arms with you, and let's go fight this battle that God's called us to, you're missing out. And yes, it can be a good life, but it's not going to be a great life. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to have a good life. He died on the cross for you to have a great life, a life that's abundant, a life that's overflowing, a life that makes a difference, a life that's bigger than just you. And that can only happen if you have people in your life to make a difference. That's where David was. We hear about him with the slingshot with Goliath. We hear about him killing the lion. We hear about him fighting off the bear. We hear about him doing all these things, but we miss these people God's put in his life. Who do you have in your life that's a warrior? Who do you have in your life that you can say, no matter what, they've got my back? Like I said in the beginning, you have to have somebody who can see better in you than you can see in yourself. This person that's a warrior in your life, they're going to walk with you through the fire. They don't care what your circumstance is. They don't matter. They're with you. And so for you, I want to tell you, God's going to call you to something big. And when he does, you're going to have people try to knock you off. You're going to have people try to knock you down from what God's called you to do. And they're going to tell you that what God's called you to do isn't as big as they are. You need a friend that says that's BS. Let's walk through this thing. Let's do what God's called us to do. So if you don't have that person in your life, today I want to free you up to say, let's find that person in your life. The third friend that we have today, I see everybody creeping up, so I'm looking up there. The third friend that you need to have in your life is this, a friend who tells you the truth. So I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, you need to be prepared to laugh, okay? So get ready, okay? This is the friend that tells you something's in your teeth or you've got a booger on your nose, okay? Like, before you're about to go in public. Like, we got to be a loose crowd. We can laugh in church. Like, this is a friend who's going to tell you the truth no matter what. Like, when you say, does this make me look fat? Yeah, it pretty much does. Yeah, it's good. Does this make my butt look big? Yeah, it does. I'm going to be real with you. Yeah, it does. This is the friend in your life that can say, hey, not the person that will walk with you through the BS, but will tell you, you're being a poopy head. Like, let's roll on. Like, stop wallowing in yourself. Let's pick yourself up and let's go. That's not the warrior. The warrior's got your back and they're going to walk through you no matter what. That's not the coach. The coach is going to help you get better at what you do. This person in your life is your mentor. This is a person that's probably been through it before. And they're trying to tell you, hey, I've walked through that too, and you're at a ceiling, and you think that you're stuck, but really it's your floor. Like, there's so much more you can do. But here's the thing. You got to stop wallowing. You got to stop wallowing in your own fear. By the way, you got a booger on your nose. Like, I'm looking around to make sure I said that purposely so I could see if anybody was trying to do this for me, you know, just trying to make sure. Or they'll say, like, you know, on another one, because I got to get some laugh. I got to loosen y'all up because I'm seeing some looks. So I'm going to get a laugh here. Like when you got toilet paper on your shoe out of the bathroom, you know, like, they're going to be the one that not just steps, but they're going to be like, hey, man, hey, dude, knock that out. Get that toilet paper off. Come on. You know, like, those are the people in your life that you need. They're going to tell you the truth. So what does Nathan do in David's life? 2 Samuel 2, verse 1 through 10 says this. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, of one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised it. It grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from a cup, even slept in his arms. That's a nice little lamb. It was like a daughter to him. Whew. Y'all know it's about to get real. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who came to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David's like, who is this dude? He burned with anger and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lived, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Here's the real. Get ready. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. I gave you all of Israel and all of Judah, and all of this had been too little. I would have given you even more. Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with a sword and took his wife to be your own. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. Now therefore, the sword will never depart from your house because you despised me. I took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own. So in this story, David has committed adultery and murder. This is the mistake we all talk about with David. Sometimes we beat the drum too much. It's just like, David, wife, adultery, murder. And if a man after God's own heart can do it, you're no different. Like, we hear that all the time on the television, right? But nobody knew about it. Like, he kept it secret. His secret was safe, right? But here's the thing. God comes to Nathan and was like, hey, go talk to David. Isn't it so many times in our life when our friends call out the truth in us, it can suck? It can be real. Like, I'm going to be the real friend in your life. Like, they're going to call that out in you and be like, hey, dude, that's just noise. I know what you did. I know who you are. But I'm going to walk with you through it. See, there's a difference in a hater and Nathan. A mentor will say that's BS. A mentor will say, hey, I know you screwed up, but I'm going to walk with you through it. And if you don't have anybody in your life like Nathan that says, I know that you sinned. Now, the cost of this sin for David was very big, very, very big. He didn't get to build the temple that Solomon built that we all know about. We hear about Solomon's temple in the Old Testament. Because of this, he missed out. He missed out on the best part of God's blessing. He didn't miss out on all of God's blessing. And God even tells him, hey, if you would have just trusted me, I would have given you so much more. But this one thing you did, this one person that you had to have in your life, this one person that I didn't choose for you to have in your life, but you chose to make them be in your life. Don't miss that when you're choosing friends. See who God has put in your life instead of you making the choice to say, God, they have to be in my life. That's a big difference for you. If you'll just trust God, this mentor will blow you away with how real they'll be with you. They'll blow you away with how much they can help you be better. So today, as we're getting ready and we're looking at all these things, I just want to tell you, like, will you tell, who are you in this story? Will you tell the truth to anybody no matter what? Do you see better in people than they see themselves? Do you have that? Are you a spiritual warrior? Like, are you one of the prayer warriors? Like, you are just somebody who can make someone closer to Jesus than they ever have been before? Or can you say you don't identify with any of those three? That's a hard thing, right? If you say you don't identify with those three, I want to tell you what these three men had in common is they were all following the Lord. Samuel, Jonathan, and Nathan all listened to the Lord. If you look at every one of those stories, they went to the Lord first, and then they went to David. And so in your life, I want you to know, we believe that life change happens best inside of Christian community. We believe that life change happens best in Christian community because these three friends couldn't have been great friends to David if they weren't in the Lord first. So my thing for all of us is, first off, I want you to know whose friends you are, and I want you to know whose friends can be in your life. Because here's the thing. What if you were one friend away? Average American has two friends. What if we had three of these types of friends in our life? What if we had one of each? What if you're one friend away from completely changing your future? One friend away from being all that God made you to be. One friend away from doing something that outlives you. One friend. Would you step up and be that? Could you give your time to do that? Would you give your talent to do that? Would you give your treasure to do that? Or would you stay on the sideline and say, they'll find somebody else? Somebody else can do that. So, as we come to the end, I want to tell you, the main thing about your friendships is if Jesus isn't in it, it ain't all it can be. And we believe that life change happens best inside of Christian community. So you may have those three friends in your life, but if you ain't got Jesus as part of that, it ain't going to work, guys. You're going to do some good things, but you're going to miss out on some great things. So today I want to set you free. I want you to think about those friends in your life. I want you to think about the people in your life that God's put in front of you and that you've been put in front of to be friends. And I want you to see what kind of friend you are and what kind of friend they are. Now, there might be some that's a mix of these categories. Hang in here with me. This isn't a rigid, portioned out plate. It gets real messy, like my lunch sometimes. You know, I don't have section meals. Like, it gets real messy. But if you're not stepping into what God's calling you to be there, you're not doing all you can do. So it brings me to this last point that I have for you. Inside your chair, you had this wonderful puzzle piece that I prayed for so that you wouldn't be embarrassed when you dug it out from under your seat and people might have saw toilet paper or boogers or something in your hair or lipstick on your teeth while you're getting that out, right? So you got this puzzle piece. And I want to help you out here with what this puzzle piece means. See, what if I told you were one friend away from your destiny, your life being completely different, and all that you have is this one piece of the puzzle? You're that one piece. If you look at that puzzle, it's got connecting pieces. It's not by itself. It's got things that connect around it. It's got people that can come together. What if I told you life was 1,000 pieces of the puzzle? All you can do is control your one piece. And the people that God puts in your life is made to connect to that piece of puzzle. Because the puzzle maker, the creator of the universe, is going to make it all come together to be something that's absolutely amazing. Somebody loves me. Maybe. Pretend this is an ice cream cake, because you know how I feel about birthday cake. Pretend it's an ice cream cake and God brings this great thing together with all of these pieces of the puzzle. Something so sweet, something so rewarding, something that's such a blessing, but you're one piece of the puzzle. And what if you kept your one piece of the puzzle away from the rest of the puzzle? How would this puzzle look? Would it be all that it was made to be? Probably not. It would just be by itself. And it would try to connect to some pieces, and it would say that, man, nobody likes me. Nobody connects with me. I don't have anyone in this life. There's no way that my piece of the puzzle was supposed to connect with someone else's. And I would charge to you, say, the very creator of the universe has his hand on you. He's chosen you. You're a part of a puzzle that is this life. That's a beautiful plan that he has for the redemption of the world from sin. And I just want to ask you what you're doing with your piece. So that puzzle piece that you have there, I want you to write the date on there, and I want you to hang on to it. I want you to write today's date. If you don't know, it's November 5th, November 5th, 11:05 will work. And if you're an hour behind, that don't mean you're a day behind, so hang in here with me. November 5th, and I want you to carry that piece of puzzle around with you. And I want you to see how these other pieces God brings in your life will help you connect to them, will help you connect the dots. But here's the thing that's the hardest thing you're going to do. Maybe your piece is missing a piece. You're walking through this life and you're being good. You're trying to live a good life. You're trying to hold it all together. Sometimes you try to be truthful. Sometimes you get at a place where you try to see the best in others and you can't. Sometimes you can get in a place to where you can just be a warrior with people. But you're missing one piece. And that piece is Jesus Christ, because his peace will surpass all understanding. And the only way that you can have that peace called Jesus in your life is if you surrender your life to him. Because here's the thing, all of us are sinners. None of us can be these three friends. None of us can be a true friend if we're not first surrendered to Jesus. And the reason that is all of us have this thing in our life called sin. We are all separated from God. We can't connect our peace to the creator of the universe. So he said, I'm going to bridge the gap. I'm going to make a way, and I'm going to give you a piece of the puzzle. And my peace comes from Jesus. My peace is my son. My peace is what I gave to show you that I love you. And if that peace is missing in your heart, guys, your peace is incomplete. And the only way that you can do that is say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for my sins, that the peace that's missing in my life is from you alone. I can't achieve it. I can't be a person of good works. I can't build 15 churches. I can't sing 15 songs. I can't tell people how great they are and motivate them and coach them and be a warrior with them and get in the trenches with them if I don't have you. It's that simple. You confess that he is the only peace that's missing in your life. And when you have it, the peace, the P-E-A-C-E you will have will surpass all understanding. It's not going to come together. Life's not going to be hard. But I guarantee you, with him connected to your peace, everybody's piece in this puzzle will work together. So today, as we get ready, to sing some worship, I'm going to ask you this. We do it every week. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer. We're going to bow our head. And I'm going to ask you to repeat it out loud for the benefit of those who have never surrendered their life to the Lord. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to respond. I'm going to ask you to respond to the peace that Jesus wants for you today. And then I'm going to pray for us who need to be a better friend and who need friends in our life. And I'm just going to ask that Jesus does what only he does. So if you'll repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe that you are the peace that's missing in my life because of my sin. You died on the cross for my sin, loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Come take over my life. Teach me how to follow you step by step, the best way I know how, for the rest of my life. And if that's the first time, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand on three. If that's the first time that you can say, I know the missing piece in my life has been Jesus is not in it, but I just laid it down today, and he is now a piece of my puzzle. He is the piece that I have that I've been missing. If that's you, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand. One, this is what you've been waiting for. Jesus has you here today to set you free. Two, don't be afraid. Don't worry about what's happening around you. I'm the only one looking at you. Three, if that's you, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. If you nailed that down for the first time today, don't be afraid to say, I need the peace that is Jesus Christ. Awesome. Awesome. And for the rest of you, I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for what God has for us today. If you can say, I don't have friends, I need help, I need to talk to somebody, because Jesus is in my life, but I'm missing pieces in my life, and I don't have peace in my life, and I need to talk with somebody who's a warrior today, who can see more in me than I see in myself, and who will do whatever it takes to tell me the truth on how I can get out of this funk. I'm going to pray for you today, and I'm going to ask you to boldly move during this worship song. I'll be standing at the back, and I can't wait to talk with you. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to lift your name high. Jesus, thank you for being our friend. Thank you for doing more than any friend could ever do by dying a death we deserved on a cross, but loving us enough not to stay dead, but rising again the third day. So today, Jesus, as you've allowed us to examine our life, you've allowed us to examine our peace, and you've allowed us to examine the piece of the puzzle that we fit in to be for your plan in reaching this city, Jesus, and your plan in changing the world. Let us boldly take a next step today. If we need to talk to somebody, let us move, Jesus. We love you. We can't wait to see what you have for us in this time. Let us worship our face off and lift your name high. It's your name we pray. Amen.